They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
There's a leak of a draft Supreme Court decision set to restrict abortion in more than half the states. I'm David Brancaccio. More now on this leak of a draft of a U.S. Supreme Court opinion in the making, indicating a majority of justices have voted to end the right to abortion in America, to overturn the Roe v. Wade decision. The draft, somehow obtained by the news organization Politico, is subject to some revision, with the official ruling expected in about a month. About half the states either have put into place strict restrictions on abortions or are poised to trigger them once this decision is made official. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer has more now on how such a ruling could affect where people choose to live and work as human resources departments adjust to this emerging legal landscape.
The Supreme Court is ruling on a Mississippi law that would ban most abortions. But other states like Texas also have very restrictive abortion laws. Texas bans abortions about 6 weeks into a pregnancy. More than 50 companies signed a letter against that law, including Lyft, Yelp, and Bumble. In fact, Bumble created a relief fund for those in need of abortions in Texas. Uber and Lyft say they'll cover any legal costs for employees who drive people to abortion clinics. Match Group, which includes Match.com, Tinder, and OkCupid, has a fund for employees affected by the law. Of course, these are all big companies, and these benefits appear to be only for full-time workers. Part-timers and workers at smaller firms are less likely to have access to this kind of assistance. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Again, the news of a majority opinion to overturn Roe v. Wade is based on a draft document obtained by Politico that could be subject to some change. Later today, we'll get data on how many people are leaving their jobs for better ones or just getting out. Wages are rising, but the cost of things is rising faster. Marketplace's Lily Jamali reports on what this could mean for the lowest paid workers thinking about quitting or staying.
Few sectors were hit harder by the COVID-19 pandemic than leisure and hospitality. Betsy Stevenson is with the University of Michigan.
It's more dangerous. People don't want to work there as much. And when a job gets worse, wages have got to go up.
BLS data show in the first quarter of this year, compensation for jobs like cooks, waiters, and hotel clerks rose more than 8%, nearly double the average increase for workers across the board. Stevenson says many in the hospitality industry have switched jobs.
Those job changers, people entering new jobs, they're the ones getting the big wage increases.
And in many sectors, low-wage workers are less likely to have long-term contracts, says Thomas Hogan of the American Institute for Economic Research.
It's an advantage in a tight labor market because it's easier for them to switch to a higher-paying job.
And higher wages, of course, can help defray the effects of inflation. I'm Lily Jamali for Marketplace.
Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all down in the 0.4% range, with the Federal Reserve starting a two-day meeting today ahead of higher interest rates tomorrow. Let's check the economic pulse, as we do regularly from diverse perspectives. Today, a reminder that this very strong job market is not strong for everyone. It's drawn from a new report on poverty in New York City from an advocacy group called Robin Hood. Rich Bury is CEO of this nonprofit. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Now, I remember earlier reports in this tracker showed just how the pandemic was certainly felt unequally, you know, people at lower incomes, people at the front lines. Now that we're transitioning to some other phase of the pandemic, I don't want to say it's over, What are you seeing? Also inequality being unfortunately reinforced?
Yeah, unfortunately, Dave, we continue to see inequality being reinforced even as we begin our recovery. New York City's poverty rate for adults remains twice the national average. We know that for children and families living in poverty, they continue to suffer material hardship. Even today, unemployment rates remain high, particularly in those industries that are most likely to employ people of color and low-income New Yorkers. We know that 40% of all New Yorkers remain rent burdened.
So what are policy remedies that you think help some? I mean, you document, for instance, not just trouble finding a place to live and affording it, but also food insecurity. So is the remedy doing some of the work that you do, which is to support food pantries?
Yeah, I mean, food insecurity is a great example where, you know, one of the things that you would have expected to see over the course of the pandemic was increased food insecurity, but it turns out we didn't. However, New Yorkers were much more likely to utilize food pantries and the emergency food infrastructure. So we know that those programs, whether it's direct cash transfers or whether it's a program that supports things like food banks, can have a tremendous effect on keeping families and children safe and secure. And what we can afford to do is to have all those things disappear while the economy still hasn't recovered, while in New York City, we have an unemployment rate that is still twice the national average.
Must be something when you have the radio on and you hear the voice come on and say, unemployment is extraordinarily low. This is not what your data is showing.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on the market. The challenge is that there isn't just one employment market. What's powerful about surveys like this is it helps us understand what that means. Whenever you look at numbers on a macro level, it always risks masking the differences within those numbers. So you really have to disaggregate. How are Black New Yorkers experiencing this? How are Latino New Yorkers experiencing this? How are Asian American New Yorkers experiencing this to understand the ways in which the current moment are actually impacting people's lives?
Rich Bury is CEO of Robin Hood. That's a New York City nonprofit working to fight poverty. Thank you very much for this.
Thank you so much for the time and for reporting on it.
Our producers are Rose Conlon, Meredith Gerritsen, Ariana Rosas, Stephen Ryan, Alex Schroeder, and Erica Soderstrom. I'm David Brancaccia. It's Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.